everyone. Baby Huey and Bimbo Jimbo here. Thank you again for downloading this very special edition of the Other Guys podcast. And you're probably wondering why we're talking before the intro. I just want to give like a little bit of a disclaimer. I know you're expecting to be listening to our spoiler review of Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, but we just wanted to give you guys the heads up. We recorded that review after the movie came out, and unfortunately, we did this review before the death of Carrie Fisher, so we just give like a little disclaimer that our full review was done before the death of Princess Leia in real life. So we just want to, Jimbo, I guess,
showing respect, you know, yes. Think that we didn't, you know, not care, and then we're just putting it out there without mentioning the fact that, you know, everyone's super duper nerd crush from their childhood passed away, and yeah. She was this icon, and we didn't even mention it. So we wanted to pay our respect. It was very sad. I was crushed, and mm-hmm. I know a lot of other people were that were fans of hers. But she was an icon. It was incredibly sad, and then her mom passed away right after that too. So it was a bad run there.
I know. A little bit, well, that's the thing is that so we recorded our Rogue One spoiler review the Monday after Rogue One came out, and then unfortunately I was a little bit delayed of actually editing and posting the review. So since this review is being published a couple of weeks after the death of Carrie Fisher, but we didn't acknowledge it in the actual podcast, we realized, oh, we probably should do a little bit of reconnaissance. Is that the word? Like backtrack?
Reconnaissance is like spying, Huey.
Oh, no.
Retconning?
Sorry, no, that totally sounds wrong.
We're gathering intelligence about what really happened.
Oh, no.
Many Bothans died to bring you this podcast.
Well, no, it's just I realize I'm going to be posting our Rogue One review after the death of Carrie Fisher. However, since we recorded before her death, we didn't actually you're probably going to listen to us thinking we're going to acknowledge it, but we actually don't because, yeah. Like I said, it was recorded before her death, but we figure let's do this little quick like I said, disclaimer before you actually listen to the actual podcast. It sounds really confusing now. I'm confusing myself.
So, no, we're paying our respects the icon.
Exactly. So we just want to acknowledge, how sad we were finding out the death of Carrie Fisher. I guess, but my main thing is, why was she such an icon? I guess from your perspective, what made Carrie Fisher just so special in Hollywood and just for fans out there?
Well, I mean, it starts with what she's most known for, which mm-hmm. is Star Wars.
Yes.
Which, I mean, it that crosses like all boundaries and all things. It's not just a sci-fi film. There's this movie Fanboys, mm-hmm. Where it's a movie about these kids basically trying to see Episode One before it actually comes out. And the whole the point of this story is that I think very true to life. There's different kinds of people. There's your nerds, your jocks, all this type of stuff, and there's this antagonistic relationship between the main character and his brother. And they don't see eye to eye on anything. But at the end of the movie, they're all in line together to see Star Wars. And there's this moment where he just high fives like, come on, it's the wars. And it is this thing. I mean, Star Wars is, I mean, people can argue this, I guess. I don't really think it's argument. It's the greatest trilogy of all time. I think it is one of the great gifts that America has given to pop culture and society. It is the modern day sort of hero's journey tale that will stand the test of time long after we're gone and everything like that, you know, mm-hmm. as long as George doesn't keep messing with it. But so, I mean, that's part of the reason why she is so iconic. She was a big part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And sci-fi in general has been sort of a much more egalitarian place for women in film and other adaptations in general. So she was a very strong female character in the 70s and persisted throughout the trilogy.
Yeah.
And I think she's always been appreciated for that.
That's awesome. So, yeah, it's just what she brought to the character was pretty awesome as far as just kind of that strong, witty, even, I'm trying to think what some other words that describe what she, I mean, she was definitely, it was fun, but she definitely stood toe-to-toe.
She was not a damsel in distress.
Yeah, talking back to Han Solo.
You know, a whole rescue the princess mission, and then as soon as they get her, she's the one barking orders and, you know, into the garbage chute flyboy and stuff like that. And, and you know, just she was, she had a lot of sass and everything. I mean, it's Princess Leia, and she, I mean, it was heartbreaking.
Yeah.
You know, I think for a lot of people, she was, you know, they're like, she was definitely one of their first, like, cinema crushes and stuff like that. For me as a nerd, I mean, just growing up, like, oh, Princess Leia, you know? I joked a couple years back when Disney bought Star Wars, which is like, well, now I know who, unequivocally, who my favorite Disney princess is. It's Princess Leia. So
nice. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, so it was terribly sad. So we didn't want to put this out there without acknowledging the fact that her passing is a huge deal.
Yes, and so it's going to be really interesting seeing what happens in Episode 8 of Star Wars when that comes out next December, and then how the trilogy, what direction they go after Episode 9. I mean, I hate to say it's too soon to think, maybe, but what would you think they should handle her character, I guess?
Oh, I don't even care. I don't think that they should do any of the CGI stuff with her or anything like that. Honestly, like, listen, she's not known for Force Awakens.
Okay.
You know, I mean, honestly, that was a fan film more than anything else. So just leave it alone. Write it however you got to. But I would not do anything with her character, like the CGI form or anything like that. But I'm not really concerned about it either. I think they'll be smart enough to know better.
Yeah. I think right now, since it's still kind of fresh in our head, we'll discuss about her legacy, which we're doing right now, and then over the coming months, and even probably when the next movie comes out, we'll discuss more maybe what's the future of her character at a later time.
But I mean, it's just like, I mean, I've read the things online that, oh, they had a way bigger thing planned and everything like that. It's like, well, tough luck. You know, she died. It's sad.
Yeah.
And you can if you're actually a good writer, write around it.
Yeah, I was anticipating, I'm sure in Episode 9, they're probably going to try to do something with Kylo Ren and her, maybe.
Yeah, like, absolutely, which, again, it sucks. I mean, I don't think they really told that great of a story in Force Awakens. I mean, it was okay, but, like I said, I'm not really concerned about that. I just think that, like, I saw people online talking about, oh, well, maybe they'll kill her off somehow or something. I was like, don't do that. Like, I just wouldn't do it. I would just leave it alone, I guess, is where I come down. Today, right now, I come down and just leave it alone.
Okay. No, that's totally.
And I guess all of Episode 8's in the can and everything like that. So
we'll get that, what she did, and that'll be her last movie. And I'm excited to see what she was able to do with her last big role. And it's going to be a fun movie. I hope it's going to be amazing. And yeah, we'll see what happens after that. So, but yeah, like I said, we just wanted to record something.
It would really suck, though, if it was like some big cliffhanger with her.
Oh.
You know?
Yes, I even think about that. Oh, my God. Oh, man, we'll see what
I guess the important thing to note here is Carrie Fisher's sense of humor persisted throughout her life, and a life that she dealt with some really serious stuff. She was advocate for, you know, better awareness about mental health and all the issues that come with that. I believe what her quote was that she wanted her obituary was died or drowned undoing her bra in moonlight or something like that, or strangled on her own bra in the moonlight.
It was great at her funeral. It was that photo of her brother holding her urn with the ashes, and it was actually in the shape of a Prozac pill.
Yeah.
I mean, that's her sense of humor.
She had a terrific sense of humor, a great self-awareness. And I mean, she was one of those people that from all that I've ever heard, she never blanched about giving so much of herself to the community that beloved her, you know? So I will always appreciate that. Yeah. And go home, watch the original trilogy, and enjoy her. I mean, God, I mean, just what is the world's most popular, like, cosplay ever at Comic-Con? I can tell you every year it's the Slave Leia outfit.
Yeah.
It just is. So, I mean, she was a sci-fi icon. She was, you know, she was a sex symbol
inside and out.
She was all these different things to so many people. So, yeah, it was a tough blow.
Yeah. So it's really sad. Yeah, we lost the actress behind, one of the biggest characters from the biggest trilogy franchise of all time. But, to Carrie Fisher, a.k.a. Princess Leia, we will miss you. And thank you again for all your amazing work over the years. And
may the Force be with you.
Absolutely.
Always.
Absolutely. May the Force be with you. So, okay, on to our actual podcast reviewing Rogue One, the spoilers review. Please enjoy, and we'll catch you next time.
Warning, the views and opinions expressed on the show are those and solely those of the hosts and in no way represent the station from which they broadcast from, nor the DJs with whom they work with.
Alrighty then.
But by listening, you will be enlightened by a different brand of useless information.
Bazinga.
And very modest hilarity.
And that's the bottom line.
It's time to hear from the other guys.
I'm a peacock. You gotta let me fly.
What's up, everybody?
Woo!
Thank you again for tuning in to this week's episode of The Other Guys Podcast. I'm Baby Huey alongside the great Bimbo Jimbo.
Let's get it going.
And Jimbo, you and I are here back at it for a very special edition of our podcast. We're here to do our spoilers review of the brand new Star Wars movie, Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. You and I finally got to see it, so now we're able to talk it out about everything about the movie, what we liked about the movie, what we didn't like. So yeah, we're recording this right after the movie came out already. I had I was very lucky. I got to see it a week ago, actually, at a very special advanced screening. And you saw it this past, was it Friday night? You said, or Saturday night?
Saturday night.
Saturday
night.
Way
to lord over the special screening over me.
That's right. Well, it's actually, and I'm actually a little bit jealous for you because you got, listen to me. It's just, you got to see it with an actual, was the room sold out or was it packed?
Actually, because it was not the Thursday night opening night or the Friday night opening night. So and it was at midnight in Emeryville, which is not exactly, you know, a bustling metropolis. So, I mean, there were definitely people there. It was a well populated theater, but it was not like loaded to the gills. Like,
really?
It was like we didn't get there because I was leaving work. We didn't get there until almost showtime. Like, it was almost preview. So, normally, I mean, I was in my own head. I didn't say anything, but I was like, man, we're going to be stuck in the front row, you know, like, just. So, I was a little worried.
Yeah.
But it all worked out. We got great seats.
Okay.
Large popcorn with butter that I put on myself, and I have no frame of reference for doing that, so.
Nice.
You know?
Well, that's cool, though. It just.
But it was great.
Well, the reason I say that is you're in a room full of Star Wars fans, and so I'm guessing when certain things happen in the movie, you guys were all reacting, and it's just probably, I'm guessing, a really nice atmosphere to watch the movie, and unlike me, which I went to the van screening, but. As you can imagine, it's filled mostly with press people, professional people, air quotes, where a lot of them are taking notes and watching very seriously. And there was
moments. Those are the people that write the reviews that I don't read or care about.
Exactly, except for our reviews.
Yeah, exactly. I'm a super hypocrite about that.
but you get what I'm saying is, like, there was moments in the movie that I wanted to geek out super hard out loud, but I couldn't because I'm surrounded by, quote, our peers, and I didn't want to be like, oh, it's that guy. Who let him in the movie? So, but for me, I just want to actually give you a little backstory where I saw it at the Dolby Theater right on Market Street in between 8th and 9th downtown San Francisco. And I'm guessing this is not based on the appearance, a place that you can go see movies regularly. It seems more of it's a place for businesses. People watch the movies at. It was there was no like concession stand or place to really buy tickets, but it's this huge movie screening room with really nice leather seats and everything. But it's mostly used for, they had a guy from the company speaking about the room. And I guess it's usually more for like business events and private events. So it's it was very nice, plush. Is it plush? Lush is drunk. Plush is nice, fancy, right?
What?
I'm trying to think of the nice one.
Lush is like growth. Like if you were in like a field with like a lush growth of, you know, green everywhere.
Okay. What's plush?
Well,
plush.
Lush is also could be like, you know, if you're like, yeah, big drinker. Yeah.
Plush?
You were a lush yesterday at Jingle Bowl.
Oh, like we'll save that for another episode. But it was a very nice room. And what was cool is the guy was telling us how I guess they had some research done and you can't see any of the PA speakers. They're all hidden, so you don't know where the sound's coming from. It's got, like, this blue light around the screen before the movie started. It was, like, glowing. And the chairs vibrate during the movie, during, like, the big battle scene. So it was a lot of fun. I actually saw Lars from Metallica there with his wife and young son. So I always think it's cool that lately in the last, God, I want to say last year, I've seen Lars at a ton of these advanced screenings for, like, Star Wars, superhero movies. I think that's good parenting right there. So, Lars, you're doing a great job raising your son on some awesome movies and characters out there. So it was a very fun experience. So thank you to everyone at Allied for inviting me to that great opportunity. It was awesome. It was at 11 o'clock in the morning, so I actually could go right after work and not have to make a second trip back in the city for a late night screen. So so I think we'll do similar, I think we've done to all our previous movies reviews, like we did Doctor Strange and all our previous other movies. We'll start with the highlights of the movie, things we liked about the movie, things we didn't like about the movie, and then maybe kind of just in conclusion, just talk about where this movie kind of ranks in the whole, what do you want to call it, library of Star Wars related movies. So we'll get on to that as we make our way through. So as I mentioned before, this is spoiler review. Like all the other reviews, we go deep into major things that happen in the movie.
If you haven't seen it yet, turn off the podcast now and come back to us later.
Exactly. Hit that pause button, save it in your favorites, come back later. So Jimbo, just right off the back, this was a movie I was worried how you would take it. For honestly,
as you should be, Huey.
Absolutely.
As the Jedi Master of the Best Damn Nerd Show and Nerdosphere, and in my opinion, the guardian of everything that is good about Star Wars, you should have been worried.
Well, okay, I tell you what. I'm trying to think how I want to get into this. Should we talk about maybe what you were worried about going into this movie?
Sure. I can.
Yeah, please do.
I can give a little quick thing. Okay, so I thought the buildup and marketing for this movie, for the most part, was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought the trailers got better as it went along. We discussed, I think, once on this podcast, one of my big fears, which is the fact that they are putting Darth Vader in this movie, which is clearly a very smart but not very respectful way of making more money and selling more toys and helping with the marketing campaign, because Darth Vader, probably the most iconic villain in the history of film.
Mm-hmm.
So if you add him to anything, I mean, it's going to, you know,
put some butts in the seats.
Yeah, you know, like Star Wars fans young and old will freak out for that. I am not so easily snowed. So I saw that as a potential downside because, look, in my opinion, Darth Vader character's been through enough in recent years in terms of how it's been treated. So I did not want to see it further bastardized.
No.
Exactly. I did not want to see it further bastardized like it was in the prequels. So I was worried that they were going to try and do too much with that. And more than that, like, you use Darth Vader, you know, you're introducing all these new characters and everything like that. And my fear was you cannot have Darth Vader in any way give an inch to any of these new characters at all. Like, it's stupid. Mm-hmm. You know, he must wreck shop whenever and wherever he's seen in this film. I didn't want too much of him, so that was a big fear. And I think they assuaged that fear quite nicely. They did not have very much of him in the movie, which was great. And the scenes that he was in, he did dominate.
Yes.
So that was they did right by that. The other thing that I was worried about is that it is, in fact, a prequel.
Mm-hmm.
And prequels in general, not just Star Wars, prequels are really hard to do because, especially after you revisit it after a long period of time, because people have already sort of made in their own head all these sort of things that, you know, how it came to be and everything like that. The story that's told before is in the audience's own mind already. And also, there are things that you are told in certain movies that sometimes you don't hold true to, and it pisses me off. Like, just, and this is be the only example I give, but in A New Hope, when Obi-Wan Kenobi tells Luke Skywalker, you know, Darth Vader hunted down and killed the Jedi,
mm-hmm.
and then come Revenge of the Sith, which is the worst of the prequels, and I will fight any one of you on that if it says different. But movie was an abomination. In Revenge of the Sith, we do not see Darth Vader hunt down and kill the Jedi. We see him go to a nursery and kill the Jedi Muppet babies, and it's really stupid. There are things that you can do wrong by the source material, so I was worried about that, and I think on all counts, they pretty much passed with flying colors.
Yeah.
So good on you.
Well, so your thing was, I remember you and I talked about this months ago, was you think the story of Darth Vader is nicely told in the original trilogy, the lore of him, let that be the existing body of work. You were afraid if they keep trying to add to it, they might mess up what we already have existing in our mind.
Well, he's
what
already he is. Been messed up. I am a prequel denier. Like, I do not consider them canon. I do not, like, which is why one of the worst parts about this movie is that Jimmy Smits showed his mug in it, because it's like, I don't need you in this. I don't want to be reminded of those crap movies. You were nothing in the prequels. You were nothing in this. Go away.
Nice. So that's, for me, since I went to this advanced screening by myself and I saw the movie, so I really enjoyed it, but I was just concerned how Jimbo would take it. That's me. I'm not so much care how I enjoyed it or not. I was more worried how Jimbo would
take it. It's such a soft touch, though.
I know.
So I'm not opinionated at all about Star Wars.
So Jimbo,
I'm really just kind of like, oh my God, there's lasers and explosions and we're in space.
Nice. So Jimbo, let's go jump right into it. What were some of the major highlights for you of this movie?
Oh, man. Okay, well, I got to say, I left completely like on such a high from this movie. Like it felt in my heart like the feeling leaving a theater that I hoped that I would have had, like leaving any of those awful movies that I won't speak anymore about, or Force Awakens, really. Like I left like riding a wave of just Star Wars energy that I haven't in a long, long time, you know. And it was terrific. So I just the energy leaving it. What I loved most was that to me it was very different than any Star Wars movie we've ever seen before. But it felt more like Star Wars than anything since the original trilogy. Mm-hmm. And I include Force Awakens in that, even though we had like some of the original characters. Mm-hmm. What this movie I thought did so well was it showed you worlds that you hadn't been to before, and it didn't at all feel like it felt like they all fit in the Star Wars universe, but it didn't feel like you were just rehashing planets or things that you'd already seen either. And they gave us characters in the very same way, that new characters, similar archetypes that we've seen before, but also with their own spin on it, that fit very well into the Star Wars universe that I believe in, and that, in my opinion, made the films what they are. So I was blown away by how much they enriched the universe here in this movie. I thought they gave us some really great stuff that we have not seen since the original trilogy. Those are some highlights for me.
I totally agree. Yeah, for me as well, my big highlight was definitely the third act, and especially the last 10 minutes. Unfortunately, so San Francisco, our screening was last Monday. The world premiere in LA was on Saturday. So for me, you know, I'm all over the web all the time. So Saturday night, Sunday morning.
Let's be real here, not let you be a martyr.
What?
Huey, you seek out these things. You go looking for them. You cannot act like you blindly find them, like, oh my God, I didn't want to see that. No, you are there, lights turned off, like you're going to, you know, start, you know, having personal time, and you are looking for them. You are actively seeking them out.
True.
So do not try and pitch. I'm calling BS on that right now. So
with that being said, I saw online, like, the first review or like initial reaction was from Kevin Smith of all people, and he said he loved the movie.
Really?
Empire Strikes Back.
He gave a glowing review of a film.
I know, absolutely
weird.
I was shocked. But he said he loved it. It was very much like Empire Strikes Back feel, and that the last 10 minutes were amazing. So that got immediately stuck in my head. So I'm going into the movie.
With all due respect to Kevin Smith, I think I get what he's saying, that as far as the Empire feel, that it's dark.
Yeah.
It's a darker Star Wars film, but this is so its own thing. Like, while at the same time connecting to, in my opinion, the best Star Wars movie, the first Star Wars. But its storytelling is very much its own thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's just, the last act, and I walked out of that screening, like, giddy to myself, saying, Darth mother effing Vader. And it's just, I enjoyed that they, it really was just a nice segue into A New Hope. And like you, I walked out of there with goosebumps, and I was so giddy and happy with myself. Like I was so excited. And it's been a while, since I walked out of a movie screening, like just feeling, oh my God, that was amazing, that ending. And I wanted to go home and watch A New Hope right after. That was probably maybe their main goal, was they wanted to add some extra new flavor to the original trilogy.
Well, the new trilogy doesn't need any extra flavor.
Yeah.
It's zesty and perfect as
I know,
it is.
I know. But so like you, I walked out of there just so happy with everything. And just I guess, let's go ahead and jump in with things you loved about the movie.
Okay. The characters, I thought for the most part, with the exception of one, I loved all of the characters mm-hmm. that we got in this movie. I thought the squad, like, to me, this movie was like Star Wars meets the Dirty Dozen
yeah.
kind of deal. And that's Dirty Dozen's one of my favorite war movies of all time. So I loved Felicity Jones as Jin. I thought she was great. The first trailer, there was kind of a vibe. I was like, okay, she looks badass, but I could see her being kind of bleeping annoying at certain parts if yeah. she's just all like, you know, I could have seen that potentially like having a little almost too much sass to the point where like, you know, writers can go overboard with that a little bit, especially like, sort of like almost like a little bit too much Tony Stark sass from her in the first trailer. But
do you think it's because, okay, they're trying to maintain a strong female lead role. They're trying to overcompensate for that.
I just thought, again, in the first trailer, that's how they pitched it out, was like, okay, she looks awesome, but I could see that character being kind of annoying. She was perfect. She was great. Her co-star Cassian was also awesome. I loved their sort of back and forth, his backstory, which, I mean, we didn't get a lot of like what brought him there, but just his edge to the character was great. I mean, you know, you want to talk about Han shooting first or not shooting first. This guy doesn't just shoot first. He shoots you in the back.
Yeah.
So awesome.
Totally.
And so I really like that. My favorite character from the movie, though, is what I call him the monk. He's the blind monk, Churrit, who is very force attuned and just sort of like, because the original Star Wars trilogy, like the Jedi and everything like that, George Lucas, heavily influenced by samurai culture and mm-hmm. Japanese culture and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So having a character like this was awesome. Having been a fan of the expanded universe and seeing characters that can see through the Force before, this was not a leap at all to me. This felt very natural. Mm-hmm. I love that character. And nice. I loved his friend. Like the whole squad, other than the pilot, the Imperial Defector, it's the guy that was on The Night Of on HBO, which I did not really like The Night Of either. Mm-hmm. That guy felt out of place in this movie to me. He was like, towards the end when he was, trying to connect the uplink so he could get the message out and everything, mm-hmm. like, it felt like Doc Brown in Back to the Future. like the cord was too short. Yes. And I love Back to the Future. Don't get me wrong. I love it to death, uh-huh. but I don't need it in this movie.
That's
so
true.
That's just kind of how it felt to me. Damn.
Nice. Well, I love this group. I thought it was very diverse and just represents the galaxy. I enjoy it. It was very beautifully shot. I mean, as far as the each setting from all the different planets, it was like very just like these big opening shots of where they were going. And it was just like, it just really engulfed you into this galaxy as far as just how amazing the graphics were, the special effects, and how it was like really just visually just amazing to see all this. And I really enjoy how each planet they went to, they kind of gave a little name tag at the bottom. Just for us, maybe can't.
I like that.
It just helps us remind us.
Well, because they were going to a lot of different places in the beginning.
Yeah, and they did a lot of jumping around. And like I said, Felicity Jones, I thought she did a great job as the lead female role in this movie. She was
awesome.
She was totally badass. And I really like the droid.
Sexy as hell, too.
She is totally. I really enjoyed the droid. Was it K2SO. I really enjoyed him. I thought it was really funny just how he was almost like doing a lot of like ball busting and like talking back to guys, to the group. And just, it was very funny. Like it was, and that's why I was worried is you and I have talked about this many times with Marvel movies, because keep in mind it's all in the Disney umbrella, how they definitely try to throw too much humor in. I enjoyed the humor in this. It wasn't a lot, but when it was in there, it seemed naturally to flow just okay.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And they didn't even lines that I didn't think necessarily landed as well with me as it did with other people, they didn't put them in spots as much where it didn't belong.
Yeah.
And also, look, the original Star Wars trilogy has some humor in it.
Yeah, Han Solo.
C-3PO, R2-D2, like it has its place in these movies. And I think you're right. They struck the right amount with it, mm-hmm. the right tone. And K2SO was a part of that. I love that character. He was very much so like, he's a more badass. He's the other side of the C-3PO coin, where C-3PO was very sort of like, you know, terrified of everything. K2SO was very much so the other way. He was a fighter. His sacrifice was great. I've not felt that sad for something not actually alive since Tom Hanks lost Wilson in Castaway. Like I was very sad to see him go.
Well, almost like Cassian. He definitely had like that Han Solo vibe in this movie.
Totally.
And it's almost like I've noticed they try to loosely recreate the characters from the original trilogy in these newer ones in some capacity. And so Cassian had that Han Solo vibe to me. And K2SO, he reminded me more of Chewbacca.
Well, he is, because he's his right-hand man, yeah. his co-pilot and everything like that. But like you said, I mean, so there are definitely those similarities, mm-hmm. but I think they did so much more by them than just making them sort of like a cookie cutter of what's come before. Yeah. Unlike, which is one of the things I think makes it stand out more than The Force Awakens, because it is its own thing. It's very, like, it is original and an homage all in one,
yes.
which is much better than Force Awakens was.
And I really enjoy, I mean, the third act was obvious. I mean, that whole battle scene, this movie put the wars back in Star Wars, in as far as you see this real struggle going on in the galaxy between the Empire and the Rebel Alliance, and just it's terrifying that you really see that people are scared of the Empire and they're, you know, either following their orders or hiding from them. So it was just, it really set the right tone, and I enjoyed that this movie definitely is more catered to an adult audience. I mean, this is I think children could go see it.
Absolutely.
But
toughen up, kids.
But it's definitely a little more darker and grittier, which I enjoy. It's like,
which they need.
Yeah, it's reality.
You might get bullied.
Yes.
It's a part of life.
Yes.
No anti-bullying PSA is going to save you.
I know. So but that last act, just the graphics, the special effects, which is really awesome. And it was really cool seeing certain characters pop in at the end and just kind of help reinforce just that goosebump feeling I had. And even for me, going back to Darth Vader, is I enjoy, like, okay, part of me wanted to see more Darth Vader, but at the same time,
you son of a bitch.
At the same time, I enjoyed what we got. It was very minimum. And when he did make an appearance, it got your attention, and he was a total badass. And that hallway scene at the end, it just, that was something I've been wanting to see a long time, as far as him using the Force, just throwing people around, blocking, deflecting all the shots at him, throwing people against the wall, picking them up, slicing them with his lightsaber. It was just like, oh my God, it was very scary. It was almost like when the room was dark and then all of a sudden the red lightsaber comes on and bam, 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 taking everyone out. It was like very like Terminator-esque, like, holy crap, this is scary. And the guys were all scared. How many were there?
It was a great scene, and just how they built it too, with the fact, because the blast door was not opening.
Yes.
So they were like trapped with Darth Vader. Like they could not, they had nowhere to go. It was heartbreaking because those guys were screwed.
Was it you that said they're like rats in a hallway? Or?
I didn't say that, but that's exactly
they
were.
Another buddy of mine, Aaron, who actually worked on the movie, he said, it was like rats in a hallway. So,
I love that scene too. And that, I mean, you know, coming from me, somebody that was very skeptical about Darth Vader's involvement, but they treated him with respect, especially there. I was not so much a fan of the dad joke that he made earlier on in the movie when he was force choking the director, who was a great villain, by the way.
Yeah.
I could have done with more of him. Actually, I
don't choke on your aspirations.
Yeah. Or admiration, as some people might have heard. Anyway. I really liked that character. I could have done without the one liner, but hey, you know, maybe Darth Vader was working on his stand up. I thought they treated him with a lot of respect, and that scene at the end it was badass.
And well, and I liked
it. He was unstoppable.
What I enjoyed is, this movie seemed very, very respectful of the previous trilogy, and it was a nice segue into episode 4, aka A New Hope.
Yeah, I mean, you don't need it. Don't make any misunderstanding. You do not need this movie.
True, but
to enjoy Star Wars. You do not need it.
But
you don't need any of them, honestly, other than the original three.
Disney.
None of them, Disney. Do not ever forget that. We don't need you.
Disney did not buy that Lucas rights for nothing. They're going to make as much money as they can off
it. But we don't need you.
I know. But I'm just saying, going into this, I wasn't sure the exact timeline. When was this going to happen? Because it was going to take place some point between episode 3 and episode 4 in that like 20-year, 18-year gap, whatever it is. And so a lot of people were saying, oh, this is episode 3.5. Really, it was episode 3.9999, because the way the movie ended, you could go see A New Hope right after, and it's like almost like a two-parter right there.
Yeah, and that to me is something that I would have actually liked a little bit more spacing, because I think, again, spoiler, but you see a sort of, was that a CGI render of Princess Leia? Was that her daughter? Was that Carrie Fisher's daughter? Or who?
Well, I don't know. I know it was the body was a live actor, okay. a live person.
But we see young Princess Leia.
But they
again,
motion captured the face.
Yeah, in the original outfit and everything like that. And it was a cool moment seeing Princess Leia, but don't necessarily need it that soon. Like, you know, because it almost would have been better to me because, you know, when Darth Vader refers to, the mercy mission, that, you know, you weren't on any mercy mission this time kind of deal. It sounds like she was going sort of on a faux, like, diplomatic trip as opposed to leaving a huge war scene.
Yeah.
A kind of deal. So that doesn't necessarily sync up quite right, but their heart was in the right place, but, I got mad for that stuff.
Yeah. I enjoyed some of the other Easter eggs. I mean, they had motion capture for Tarkin.
It looked a little weird, right?
A little bit, yeah.
Like, it would have been a great video game for Tarkin.
I guess when we first saw him, his reflection, that was cool. But then I didn't realize how much he was going to be in the movie after. And I was like, I mean, we've come a long way in CGI, motion capture and all that stuff. I mean, you look at like Planet of the Apes and all that, everything that Andy Serkis has done. I mean, but in this world for this movie, I wonder if they would have, if I was them, they shouldn't have done so much with him.
I feel like they felt like, they obviously must have felt like his role was intricate enough to the story that they wanted to tell, because I thought about that as well. It's like, I agree with you. It's like, man, that they had a lot of Tarkin in there, and considering that actor is dead and they didn't want to recast him, but I mean, he looked good. It just, you could tell. Like, there's no fool in it. You could tell. And, like, I'm not expecting that, you know, that they were going to pull off this miracle. So they did the absolute best they could. It just, you know, you could see it.
And you told me you enjoyed the pilots as well.
That was my ultimo nerdgasm moment of the movie. Because, so, a little background. Star Wars, the original Star Wars, is my favorite one of the trilogy. Mm-hmm. And I love the original Death Star battle. My favorite ships growing up were not the X-Wing fighters, but rather the Y-Wings, because I was a weird little kid. I liked Gold Leader, was one of my favorite. I played the Star Wars collectible card game when I got Gold Leader and got to read a little bit of his backstory. I was super stoked. So in the movie, when they use like old archival footage we get the X-Wings, we get to see Red Leader and Gold Leader checking into this battle, which would make sense, complete sense, timeline-wise. I started cheering in my seat. I was like total like kid again moment. I was so, my heart was singing the Star Wars theme. It was a beautiful thing. And to have that callback, like, you know, they had a vocal cameo from Wedge in it. Like the respect that they showed, and they, like, this movie was a sort of a pitch perfect way of like a how to do a callback. You know, and not have it forced. You know, you don't have Yoda in episode 3 coming out of nowhere just going, "Thank you, Chewbacca," just because you want people to clap. This was natural. This was done in the right way.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm getting goosebumps right now just thinking about it, because it was done so well. The pilot showing up was great. And then the new pilot, Blue Leader, I thought totally fit the whole aesthetic too. That was the whole thing, is that they got it right down to like the clothes they were wearing and everything like that. It felt like we were in the right time period leading up to the original Star Wars. So, that was incredible.
And I loved that they had a lot of great Easter eggs in there for various things, but they didn't really like beat you in the head over it. It was very nicely, subtly in there. I know you made a crack joke at Jimmy Smith's character, but that scene where they said, "Please go find your old Jedi friend on Tatooine." So I was like, "Oh, Obi-Wan reference, nice."
Obi-Wan's not going to take your calls, Jimmy Smith.
I know. So we can go on with a lot of little things that we love. Let's go into things that maybe you did not like as much. Was there anything that really kind of maybe irked you the wrong way, or got out, you didn't really enjoy?
This is a super nitpick, but it was just something that I kind of like was thinking about when Jin's dad, what was it, Galen Erso, was given his message about the Death Star and everything like that.
Who's played by Mads Mikkelsen, who's It's been a busy year for him. He was in Doctor Strange, so yeah. Disney must love him.
Yeah, they must. But yeah, his whole transmission about the Death Star, little wordy.
Yeah.
He was kind of writing a whole novel there to his daughter when
in the hologram?
When he didn't even really know if she was alive or not, I thought. And it's like, dude, maybe, you know, get to the point here. Somebody could probably come in at any minute and then you're screwed.
Yeah.
So let's
speed it up.
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope is usually how these things go. You know, simple, straightforward. Let's move it along, pal.
Actually, that's one. Going back to what I liked about the movie was I think a lot of fans over the years were always kind of complaining. The Death Star, this big thing, it was so easy to just to destroy, which is, oh, one little shot at the reactor and boom, you're done. Now we know based on Galen Erso in this movie.
Intentional.
Yeah, he set it up on purpose. That was like the ultimate middle finger to the Empire. He didn't want to do this, but he built a way that this one little faulty way that the Death Star can be destroyed, and he told them how to do it. So
I mean, I never thought it was a plot hole in the original Star Wars because it they had to get the plans to be able to analyze that weakness was even there.
Yeah.
It was a cool sort of filling in of that as far as how they would let that go. I mean, I do think that the hubris of the Empire would allow them to have it there anyway because, they know this thing is it's the Titanic of Star Wars. You know, it's unsinkable kind of deal. I like that we got to see the Death Star. The Death Star got treated with some mad respect, too, in this movie. Got to, blow a lot of stuff up, did some serious action without having to destroy entire planets. We got to see more of the destructive power of the Death Star.
And how the planet, from their perspective, if you're on the planet while it's being destroyed,
you're getting nuked.
Yeah, it's like it's coming at you like in waves, the force or almost like, yeah, like, yeah, I guess like a nuclear bomb going off. But it was really cool seeing that. I mean, it must be a scary feeling because we saw two planets blow up in
two major cities get wiped off.
I mean, anything else that really kind of stood out for you?
There's a couple things on the positive, but I didn't know if you had any negatives that you wanted to go into first, but there's one other major positive.
Okay, go ahead. Go with the positive.
So one of my other fears going into this movie was the fact that we're getting all these new characters, but it's a prequel. So if you really were so damn important, we would have run afoul of you in the original trilogy. And so my thing verbatim going in is like, well, they all have to die.
Mm-hmm.
And they all died.
Yeah.
And it was done so well. Like, I mean, I'm not to sound morbid, but, it was good that they all died.
Yeah.
That's how, and it showed a lot of the sacrifice that the rebellion is, in a very sort of personal way. And I thought they did everyone's sacrifice really well. Like, the droid K2SO, like how he went out was great.
Dropping like flies one by one.
Yeah. And again, very Dirty Dozen like. How my boy Churrit, the monk, went out, just chanting and then flipping the switch, then getting killed. And his buddy who had the sick like Gatling gun blaster.
Kind of remind me like an Asian version of who's the X-Men?
Bishop?
Yeah, he kind of reminded me of that.
He's got a little Bishop vibe going on.
Yeah.
But yeah, how they all went out and sold their lives so dearly. It was like the Battle of the Alamo kind of deal. And so that was really awesome.
Well, that's the thing is going into this, I mean, a lot of people are saying if you look at the original Star Wars in the opening crawl, that one sentence where a team of rebels stole the plans to the Death Star. This whole movie is about that one sentence. And so, yeah, you and I going into this, it's like, well, yeah, whoever this team is, you never hear about them in the original trilogy. So it only makes sense that they have to die. So it was cool. I mean, I saw some reviews online. People were like, oh, I wish one of them might have lived. Like, nice little surprise at the end. One of them survives. I'm like, no, because then it would really kind of mess up even more the original trilogy. Like what you said, we should have heard about them then. I was very satisfied. A lot of my predictions going in happened as far as them all dying. When we do see Darth Vader, I want to see something very similar. You would see like on Rebels, the cartoon Rebels, as far as him just picking up people and slashing them, just being a total scary, menacing villain. And we got all that. So I really enjoyed it. I guess I want to ask you something that kind of was interesting. I didn't really know how to take it. No opening crawl in this movie. Did you enjoy that? Did that bother you?
It didn't bother me. It was definitely different. And I think since it's not like I think it's to put over more that this is but a small footnote in the Star Wars story.
Anthology film, they're calling this. Yeah.
It's not a like a whole chapter of the book of
no
the galaxy.
Sequels.
Yeah, exactly. This is very much so just is. It's not episode whatever.
Mm-hmm. It's his own thing.
Yeah.
And what about the soundtrack?
I would have been fine if they had added a crawl, too. You don't have to put episode atop it.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping for a crawl, just to kind of maybe, for the average person, kind of maybe help re-explain what's going on here. Like, maybe it's been a long time since they've seen episode 3 or whatever. Maybe kind of explain what's going on in the last 20 years, what's Darth Vader been doing. Maybe
you want them to explain what's happened in episode 3.
A reference.
The prequel?
Maybe. I don't know.
Yikes.
But
I thought I knew you.
What'd you think of the soundtrack? Because Star Wars are very well known for their soundtrack. I mean, the original 3.
It was very good because it was, again, it was taking familiar themes and doing them a little bit differently.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. I don't think there was anything that really stood out as far as like a new like theme that is going to have the resonance that the original Star Wars soundtrack did. I think that's the only thing that stood out and will stand the test of time of the prequels is that Duel of the Fates is the one new Star Wars song that was added that actually is good.
Yeah. For me, I just kind of negative. It's just I thought the first act it moved a little slow for me, but I get it. It's character build. I mean, they're introducing all the characters, building the team together. They're going from planet to planet. So it was definitely a lot of moving around. I was going to say also Forrest Whitaker, his character, his voice was a little goofy to me.
Really?
Like, because, you know, I know he's got like some breathing problems, so his voice is a little more higher pitched. Like, oh my. Like, I don't know. I can't really.
To me, like, I think they were trying to, like, put, like, he's been fighting for so long. Like, to me, like, I thought the voice really served the purpose that he was, like,
aged
cracked.
And
like, he was a little, like, he's not all there, a little cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Yeah. I mean, he sacrificed himself to get the team out at that point because they were all in his captivity.
Yeah, well, I mean, he just more was just accepting his death than anything.
And that weird lizard thing that was on the pilot's face, like trying to make him tell the truth.
Yeah, I thought that's another example. I thought that was cool. It was like a new creature that we haven't seen in Star Wars, but yet it felt like very like, okay, yes, this exists in the Star Wars universe.
And we saw
Dr. Evazan and Ponda Baba pop up, the two bandits from the cantina.
Yes.
They could have done a little bit better job on Evazan's makeup, and Ponda Baba's head looked a little bigger than in the original one.
Yeah.
But, you know, I liked seeing them pop up. I loved Jedha in general.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the sort of adding another lore that there were Jedi temples there and, like, sort of, like, where the Force, where the lightsaber crystals were. I liked that that's what powered the Death Star laser.
Yeah.
And I liked that they really did a good job of illustrating like a galactic civil war torn city.
Mm-hmm.
It was very, you know, it felt very real, like sort of transplanted from our world, but turned into the Star Wars world.
Did you think it was a little slow at all as far as the characters? Like, there were some characters just thrown at us. We need a whole lot of backstory. Except for Jyn or so, it was definitely focused on her and her father. But the rest of the team, I mean, Cassian, he explained he's been fighting this thing since he was, what, 6? I think they referenced.
Yeah.
Everyone else was kind of thrown in there, but we didn't really know how they were all friends or.
We got a little bit. I always could do with more backstory.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think that's kind of true to the Star Wars trilogy in general. Like, you know, we didn't really get a lot of Han Solo's backstory either, you know?
I think we are now in a new movie.
Yeah, which I'm not stoked on. But I could have done with a little bit more. I could have done with a little bit more in the prelude to the battle. I would have liked to have a little bit more of a sort of back and forth in that council room and everything like that. And maybe, you know, just something there I think would have been good.
I just thought of it. So at the end, Darth Vader's hallway scene, couldn't he have used the Force to get the disc with all the plans back? Like, I mean, wasn't he ultimately hunting them down to get that disc? Like, couldn't he just go, like,
maybe he didn't know that they had it, though.
Okay.
Literally, he just got there.
Okay. I just thought that was kind of,
I mean, deep down, he's always good anyway, so maybe it was, you know, didn't really want to get it.
Yes, he is a turncoat.
He's like, you know, I'm just here so I don't get fined.
They're paying me to be in this movie.
Yeah.
We can go on, but overall, I love the movie, and it already broke records this week. I think it's like already $155 million, which is amazing, just because I think a lot of people worried we're going in. Do they understand this is a prequel? It's not episode 8. Episode 8 comes out a year from now, and we'll find out more about Luke Skywalker, Rey, and all that in the next movie. So I guess, I mean, we could spend X amount of time ranking them, but you can spend that. I mean, we'll have to do it again next year. I mean, you can go on and on about ranking. I guess my big question is, how would you rank it between Force Awakens and this movie? Like, which one do you enjoy better or like better?
I think this one blew Force Awakens out of the water. I think the Death Star rolled up and it took aim at Force Awakens and destroyed it.
Okay.
Completely, utterly, in every facet, this is a superior Star Wars movie.
And that's the thing for me. It was like, after the movie, I was like, oh, I still kind of enjoy Force Awakens more, just because we got Han Solo back, got Chewie, got Princess Leia.
Do not let the sentimentality cloud your vision, Huey.
I know. The only thing I was bummed
about. I get it, because you grew up watching The Force Awakens. You could watch it literally whenever you want, because it's called Star Wars.
Yes. That's true. God damn.
I get it.
But, I mean, the only thing I was bummed is Luke. We didn't get much Luke, except for the end where he was just on a mountaintop by himself doing stuff. And we just got him without even saying anything. But, yeah, I tried giving this a full week to settle in. And, Rogue One, just, God, Darth Vader, that last 10 minutes was awesome. Oh, what'd you think real quick of him in the water, kind of like healing his body?
I didn't really like that at all. That to me, I
thought. Was that like his castle or something that was supposed to be, or like?
It was like where he was stationed. Okay. And I was not a huge fan of that.
Yeah,
necessarily. I mean, it didn't like ruin it or anything, but I could have done without seeing that. I liked it better in Empire Strikes Back when you just see the helmet going onto him. Yeah,
drilling in.
Yeah, I don't need to see. I don't need more stuff explained.
Okay,
that was a mistake in the prequels when they tried to explain the Force, which is another real strong suit of this one in the Chirrut character, that they go back to it being a spiritual thing.
Okay,
and not a quantifiable scientific thing.
Gotcha. Hey, that's cool. All right, Jimbo. Well, I mean, we can like break it down more and more. I mean,
I loved it.
Yes, I loved it too. Should we do like a rating system? I don't know. Like,
if this were the Best Damn Nerd Show and we were doing a movie night, which we will be doing it on it, sneak peek at what my rating will be. My rating system is called Booshes. It's out of 5.
That's right.
This gets 4.5 out of 5 Booshes. This is an exquisite film, great addition to the Star Wars universe. It is like an expanded universe book come to life in the best possible way. Just hats off. Well done.
Nice.
Thank you for restoring my faith in the Force.
That is awesome. Yeah, I was going to give it like a 9 out of 10 or similar to what you just ranked. So yeah, we encourage everyone to go out and see it. If you're listening to this, obviously you went and saw it already, because it's a spoiler review, but go see it again. I mean,
I'm definitely going to go see it again ASAP.
Yeah. Oh, how'd you see it? Was yours IMAX or?
No, just regular.
Okay. You know? Mine was regular too. So I'm kind of tempted to go see an IMAX 3D maybe.
Yeah, save the money.
Yeah.
I think it's fine
a purist.
I don't really think it adds that much to seeing it. Maybe it's just because I have really bad eyesight. Yes. that could be it.
Nice.
But man, this movie was so good.
I know.
Like, just can't say enough positive things about it. It was so much fun.
I know we have episode 8 next year, and then we are going to have a Han Solo.
It's a tough act to follow, man.
Yes. Episode 8 better like bring it like big time. And then, supposedly we're going to get like a. Rumor has it, maybe Obi-Wan Kenobi solo movie, and maybe a Boba Fett solo movie. Who knows? I think Disney and Star Wars people are working very hard and making a bunch of movies for the next X amount of years for us to enjoy. So on that note, Jimbo, let's wrap things up. Anything you want to plug, promote for yourself?
Well, if you want to hear some other nerds talk about Star Wars Rogue One or Rogue One, a Star Wars story, whatever, I do the Best Damn Nerd Show. You can check us out at the BDNS on Twitter, bestdamnnerdshow.com, Best Damn Nerd Show on Facebook. And, of course, our even better podcast, which talks about the best show on TV, Lucha Underground, because Huey and I, we did, in fact, interview the king of Lucha Libre, Rey Mysterio. Check out the Lucha Lowdown. You can find it on iTunes, Audio Boom. Find us on Twitter at Lucha Lowdown and on Facebook.
That is awesome. And I'm Baby Huey. Follow me on Facebook, facebook.com/ Baby Huey Official, Twitter and Instagram at Baby Huey 83. And for everything us related, other guys podcast related, of course, 1077thebone.com. iTunes, Stitcher. Just search for The Other Guys. And we will be back in January full force. I know it's been a couple months since we've done a full-blown episode with Chasta and Joe and everyone. So I know we've only done movie reviews at the end of the year, but it's just a busy time. We'll get into all the details why it's been lack of episodes, but we're looking forward to getting back into the new year with a lot of fun stuff for you guys to talk about. And yeah, thank you again for all the support. This will be, I guess, our last thing going into the new year. So thank you for all the support for this past year. And happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year, pal.
Happy New Year, pal. Christmas, everybody.
Thank you. Thanks again for all the support. And we'll have a great rest of the week, weekend. We'll catch you later. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to The Other Guys Podcast. Be sure to follow The Other Guys on all their social media pages. Facebook.com/The Other Guys Podcast. Instagram @The Other Guys Podcast. And Twitter @TOG Podcast. And don't forget to subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher. And of course, check back to 1077thebone.com for new and previous episodes of The Other Guys Podcast.
Party on, dude!